Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Welcome to this amazing show that we're going to have today. Listen, the show today is really for you to be able to step up and be able to honestly see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. How are you going to do that? Well, we're going to do it by giving you some new understanding about the mind, your mind, how the mind works. You know, our mind's thought creates reality. What you focus on, you feel, you experience, you take actions around. Well, if you're focusing on the wrong areas, if you're not using the mind in the right way, then what happens is you create chaos, you create misery, you create a lot around you that you don't intend to happen. But when you learn to master the mind, master your understanding of the mind, then you can upshift your consciousness and take it to a completely new way. Now, you know this, or you know, if you've been watching my show, that about, 2022, I think it was, three scientists were given the Nobel Peace Prize for entanglement theory, right? They showed that everything is all connected. Well, that's interesting when it comes to the mind. So if you realize that the mind is connected to everything and everything that's connected to the mind, you start to realize your potential. You start to realize that you can manifest things in greater ways by using the power of your mind. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, even if you're, I want to say this, even if you're in a place where you feel like you don't have the brilliance, the vitality in your mind that you used to, there are techniques to help you to revitalize your mind, both mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, that you can revitalize your mind and start to connect into the superconscious mind. So we have the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, right? Conscious is everything you see right before you. Subconscious is everything you experienced in the past, and superconscious, right? You know, it was Albert Einstein, I think, that said, you know, if you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. And so true. So how do you tap into this superconscious mind? Well, we're going to be talking about that today and helping you to understand some of the principles. So I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I've got a very special guest for you. So we'll be right back.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I have my very special guest, Topher Taylor. Topher, welcome to the show, man.
Great to be here. Thank you very much. Big fan of yours.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours now, too. So, Dr. Taylor is a successful entrepreneur. He's an Emmy award-winning producer and a doctor of policy planning and development. His landmark research on human performance intention experiment demonstrated how positive intentions can boost athletic performance. He's a pioneer in educational entertainment. And what else do I want to say about you? You're an expert in media and consumer products. He's produced over 15,000 TV shows. He's currently a councilman in Indian Wells, California, and so much more. What a beautiful career you've had, Topher.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it's definitely full.
I love it. Well, Indian Wells is one of my favorite areas in the world. I have my aunt that lives out in Indio, and we like to, you know, visit that, that desert area.
It's a spiritual place.
It's a very spiritual place. You know, you you're pretty close to 29 Palms, and back in 1924, one of the sages of our time, by the his name is Paramahansa Yogananda. He came in, and one of his retreats is right out there at 29 Palms, along with temples. I think he's got 600 ashrams and meditation centers around the world. Anyway, let's get to you. All right. You know, you've had kind of what you would call a mind-bending journey. You know, you got this amazing book out. It draws on your philosophies, you know, ancient philosophies, modern science. You know, how did you get involved in this? Let's just start there.
Well, so, you know, I think as a I think all of us, you know, we're brought up in kind of traditional religious, you know, background. My mother was an Episcopal priest, for example. My brother was an Episcopal priest. And so we, you know, we're brought up in the church, and that was our original link to spirituality. And, you know, as we grow and learn to challenge authority and things around us and ask questions, many of us chose a different path. Many of us, you know, wanted to explore our spirituality and not just necessarily accept, you know, traditional norms. And I think for me, kind of as a scientist, one of the challenges that science has had since Charles Darwin, quite frankly, is, you know, the notion of, you know, how do you actually come to terms with religion, you know, and science? And I think what's really exciting about the past, call it 80 years, is that science through physics, theoretical physics, and now quantum physics is coming back full circle to, you know, justify, if you will, a real another level of meaning, understanding, and existence that we are all part of and can tap into. And as it turns out that, you know, perhaps these sages and spiritualists over the past 2,000 years, that many of us may have, scientists that way, may have kind of dismissed, are can now be acknowledged as having some kind of an enlightened belief system that you know, is now, quite frankly, being acknowledged by science. And so that curiosity of, you know, what is the meaning of life? How are we all interconnected? What is spirituality? What is my spirituality? These are the things that kind of drove me and into exploring all of this. And when I was at the University of Southern California studying political science, there was an amazing professor, Peter Robertson, and you know, we were taking a class on local governance, okay? And it was a class where, you know, you had some mayors of local cities and police officers and firemen and stuff like that. And it was all about, you know, managing a local city. And, you know, quite frankly, a lot of us in the room either had the experience or, it, you know, we were thinking, well, this is going to be kind of a trite class, you know, but we have to take it as a requirement, you know, to get through the grade, you know, get through the course restrictions anyways. And so the professor said, on the first day of class, this is quantum physics. We're all connected energetically and particularly. Those are the two basic fundamental elements in all the universe. And then he went into entanglement, which is where a particle is influenced and another particle, without regard to time and distance, is influenced instantly. And then we started talking about our connectivity to, you know, the environment, you know, that in essence, Earth and the universe is one system. It's one giant metabolistic system that ebbs and flows. And that if we knew, this is my language now, not his, but if we knew that our very minds and our thoughts could impact other people, would we govern a city differently? Would we administer our companies differently? Would we, you know, treat people differently? What a fascinating question. And that so intrigued me that I just kind of dove into the space to try and understand more about the power of intention in our minds, not only to impact our own lives, but everybody else around us.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of research around intention. I think it was Lynn McTaggart. She wrote a book out there called The Power of Eight years back. And where they started to, they started to do an intentional experiment where they had 10,000 people all focusing their intention. I think it was on the Middle East for peace. And sure enough, you know, it shifted around and they got peace. Then they tried it with 5,000 people and then 1,000 people. And then anyway, it went down to like 8 people. And, you know, quite frankly, you can do it with one person or 2 people. But it does multiply. Intention does multiply when you have more people with it. It's very interesting. That goes back to entanglement theory, I think. What's your hit on that? Why is that?
Well, so, Lynn is still at it, by the way. In fact, she had a big peace session this past week. And, she is a real expert, in the field. And I have great admiration for her. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that let's start with a couple of really interesting studies. You know, when you do research to do a doctorate, a dissertation, you start uncovering these kind of studies that really inspire. Again, I'm walking into this thing as a skeptic. Like, I'm a business guy. You know, I'm come from the entertainment industry. I'm very much into family entertainment, family values, creating, content that is safe and enables children to develop, on an age appropriate basis, et cetera. And so, I'm coming at this thing. I don't have crystals in my house, and I don't have, shamanic drums, et cetera. But I will say that perhaps now I do, and that's because when I dove into this, I'm going to share some studies with you. So early studies in the area of intention included some very basic concepts, and for those people out there, who are kind of scratching their heads, these studies will be very impactful. Number one, so let's just say that if you and I walked into a room that measured our energy, we would see kind of an orange reddish field around our bodies. All of us emit energy. All of us create energy in order for our hearts to work and our minds to work and our muscles to work, right? And so we would have this kind of energy field around us. And if we concentrated on sending an intention, especially an emotive, compassionate intention versus a negative one, the energy field would actually increase. Okay, that's just a fact. I mean, those studies are very common. Now, if you take someone who's a practiced intentionalist, a practiced energist, like a shaman, and you put them in that same energy room, their initial energy level would be significantly higher. In fact, it may be 1,000, 2,000 meters higher. And as they send intention versus when we send intention, the power of their energy is often as much as 10,000 times more powerful. And that makes sense to me. Why? Because, I could run a marathon right now, but I'd probably die at, mile 8. But if I practice and practice over a year or two, I could actually finish the marathon. Now, I may not be as good as the guy who wins the marathon from Kenya, but I may finish the marathon, because that man from Kenya has a gift. He's been given a gift from the time he was born for speed and endurance and sagacity, et cetera. And so, but I absolutely can, through management of my body, get to finish a marathon. So the point is, these shamans actually have a connectivity that's at a higher level, perhaps from gift and perhaps from experiment and continued work in the space, that is more powerful. So the early experiment showed, if you take a handful of seeds, like apple tree seeds, and the shaman intended for them to be more productive and grow faster and put them in the earth, and then he took a handful of seeds that was a control group that he didn't touch, he didn't intend, and you put them in the ground near each other, It's very clear over and over and over again, this experiment has been redone over again, that the seeds that have received intention grow faster and bear more fruit. So what with the advent of entanglement and the thought of entanglement, this experiment was conducted remotely. And so the idea is that the shaman is sitting, let's say, in Los Angeles, California, and the person holding the seeds is in Australia. And the shaman sends the same intention to the person holding the seeds across the world. And then there's a control group. Those seeds are planted and the same cause and effect occurs. The seeds that received intention grow faster and more productive than the ones that didn't. And so that's kind of an entry level conversation. But there are more interesting, you know, experiments.
I love the conversation. And I want to just add one thing in, okay, to this, because it's fascinating. I know that, you know, with intention, I had a yogi who had been, he'd been in an ashram for, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, something like that. He came out and he said, Ken, I want to show you the power that you have. And I said, well, how are you going to show that? And he says, well, let's use the power of muscle testing, kinesiology. And he said, I want you to think of something that's really upsetting to you. And I said, okay, I got it. And he says, now let's test and see how far your influence goes out. And we tested using the kinesiology. The influence went out 8 feet. He said, now I want you to think about something that you love, you're in love with, you're passionate about. He said, let's retest. The intention, the energy field went out 300,000 miles, right? We have that power in us. I like what you said. You know, if you're a shaman or a deep meditator, you've been practicing that. What have you been practicing? You've been practicing tuning into the superconscious, bringing that energy back into you. So that you have the power, you have the intention, you have the energy to be able to put that out more and more, which is why these practices are so key to us. All right. I got to take a quick break. When we come back,
okay.
Quantum physics made accessible to you. That's what we're going to be talking about. So I'm going to take a quick break.
Imagine, this is your money, and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money, and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash, and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call, so please call right now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, Topher Taylor. I want to mention to all of my audience out there, it's important for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Why is that? Well, this program is all about being of service to other people. When you subscribe, you can share the link with your family and friends. Plus, you'll never miss a show. So we hope you'll take advantage of that. All righty, back now to my guest, Topher Taylor. Topher, it's good to have you here. I love this conversation. Quantum physics made accessible. How do we do that?
Well, you know, so here's an interesting thing. Each one of us has about 80,000 thoughts in a single day, which is kind of remarkable. And about 85% of those are negative. And you know, if you go through it,
how do you define negative? What is,
no, in other words, like, you know, okay, if you're a golfer and you're standing over a putt, is your initial thought, I'm going to miss this, or that this is hard, or I can't read the break, or when you come up to, you know, a traffic signal and there's a, you know, somebody crossing the street, Does the thought enter your head that, oh my God, I'm going to hit this person, or am I going to, you know, what's that person going to do? Is he either going to break into my car or whatever it is? I mean, negative thoughts.
Okay, in abundance. These are thoughts that might lower your vibration, your energy, that disempower you at some level. So 80% of the thoughts out of those 80,000 people, generally speaking, have these negative thoughts. Go ahead.
That's exactly right. And what's an interesting exercise for all of us to do, because I've done it and it's crazy, is because, you know, I was kind of dismissive of this because I'm an optimist. I'm an eternal optimist, right? But at the same time, you know, I started tracking over 3 days just thoughts. I mean, it's impossible to write down every thought. But I mean, literally, I start writing on these thoughts. I'm like, oh my gosh, here I'm an optimist, like a very positive energy guy. But the amount of negative thoughts were remarkable. And so over time, when you start recognizing these thoughts, you can start turning them into something positive. You can start thinking positive. You don't always have to look at the world through a glass half empty. You can look at it through a glass half full. That's a choice. And we make choices in our lives. Now, for those of us who all, you know, grew up with television, broadcast television, we had antennas on our houses and they, you know, came in and the signals came into our room and in our living room and you were able to watch, you know, a television show. That's a great metaphor for who we are. We as human beings are walking around as antennae. We are both receiving information and sending information. And if we realize that we're walking around this earth and affecting the environment and people around us with 80,000 negative thoughts every day, what kind of crazy person would want that to continue? So what we need to do is we need to start thinking positively and turning those thoughts into positive, compassionate, you know, loving sentiment. And when we walk around, that antenna then will get more powerful and more impactful. And you're going to see a wonderful shift in the energy that surrounds you and your life. And that's absolutely something that, you know, we can all work on and be very effective in through practice.
That's awesome, man. That's really, you know, what I love about you is you bring those practical things, the scientific theories into practicality here. So that's really important.
You know, there's a couple more experiments that are worth sharing if you don't mind, because they're really fascinating. So there was one done at the Cleveland Clinic about 10 years ago. Okay. And they asked people to stay at home on the couch and meditate, think intentionally that they were going to a gym and lifting weights and, you know, exercising on the treadmill. And they wanted them from the couch to visualize that they were actually, you know, exercising. And over a period of 6 months, their muscle mass increased. Now, their muscle mass did not increase the same way as if they had gone to the gym and actually lifted weights, but they did increase. And this goes to one of the themes of your show here, which is, you know, the power of mind and the power of the mind to impact, you know, our lives. You know, here's another interesting, and I found this to actually be the most inspirational as far as the power of the mind can be, and it's almost Star Wars-like. So there was a French researcher named René Piocque who conducted a fascinating experiment. He took one of those, you know, robotic vacuums, you know, those, you know, round vacuums that go along the floor. He put a candle on top and he programmed the vacuum. And I'm going to use the space in this screen to kind of illustrate the experiment. But he had the vacuum go east and west and north and south in equal increments for 2,000 times in a row. It perfectly went east, west, north, south throughout the entire field of the experiment. Then what he did is he took some baby chicks and put them on one side of this field, okay? And the room was dark. So the chicks were born into darkness and were in a cage on this side of the field. So the candle lit on this vacuum, this robot, if you will, that was going, you know, throughout the field. When the robot vacuum with the candle appeared closer to the chicks, The chicks cooed and were happy. Perhaps it was from the light. Perhaps it was from the heat. And then when the robot went away from the chicks started chirping and going crazy. And you got a sense that they wanted the light back. Well, wouldn't you know it? In the experiment, 70% of the time the robot spent closer to the chicks than it had in 2,000 other evolutions. So the simple intention of a chick, a simple or
that's amazing.
The electronic programming of this robot. Now, if that doesn't show the power of intention, even in a simple organism, I'm not sure what does.
that's really powerful. I hadn't heard about that that study, but conscious. So we would define a chick then to have some consciousness, right? Not just running on instinct, right? Some type of consciousness is in there. Interesting.
I mean, if we, you know, when we think about the fact that, you know, if we buy into the Big Bang theory, right, everything started from this particle, boom, right? That means we really are all interconnected, right? And that there is, you know, one of the most hotly debated and talked about issues in physics today is what is consciousness and where does it come from? And you know, you've dealt with this on your show. It's a fascinating subject, right? Heretofore, we all thought consciousness was in here. But the current thinking, the current debate is, well, maybe consciousness is out here. Maybe it's ever present. Maybe it's part of this quantum field that we all live in and exist. And maybe when we're born, we download a certain amount of information into our basic DNA and particles and energy, which, you know, then manifests to constitute who we become. And then during our lives, almost like a computer that uses the cloud, we send up information and we pull down information. And our ability to connect to the cloud, to use a metaphor, gives ourselves the ability to create our own lives and create our own future.
Well, you know, in Vedic tradition, they would say that there is 10,000 years. We go into 24,000 years cycles. Okay. We've been doing these 24,000 year cycles for eons. And so there's 12,000 years descending and 12,000 years ascending in consciousness. We just came out of what they would call the Kali Yuga, the darker ages. And now we're heading back up into the higher ages. And I think, you know, it's kind of interesting because we're finding archaeological data around the world showing that this particular theory, right, is starting to look like it might have a lot of validity around. So when we think of consciousness and we think about higher ages, when I read a lot about the Vedas, right, these are the ancient writings from India and the East. And, you know, when you start to read those Vedas and you start to look at the science now, I would almost say the science is catching up with the Vedas, because the Vedas have shown us for eons that consciousness is in, we have consciousness, subconsciousness, we have universal consciousness, we have cosmic consciousness. There's different levels of consciousness that we can tune into. And I love that science is going, yeah, it's not necessarily, we have a brain, we have a personality, but now we can start to expand and different understanding. Here's what the point is. I think that your science and your work, and we want to get to your book here, and I'm going to do that in just a second. Your science and your book connects us all together. We start to understand that we are one. And if we start to operate from a place of oneness, of service to one another, life changes. We can get better. We can solve the problems in this planet. That's what I think.
Some of friends of mine are astronomers, right? So what does an astronomist do? They wake up every day, or, you know, they wake up every night, actually. And they look into the stars, and their entire lives, many of them, are spent trying to understand our universe and our galaxy and solar system. And many of them have spent their entire lives. These are extreme intellectuals pursuing if there is life on another planet. You know what? They haven't found it yet. So, hello, everyone. we've got this precious orb floating on the universe called the Earth, and we are one biosystem. And we all know that if we don't take care of the plants outside in our backyards, they die. We have to take care of that plant in order for it to survive. So the we are one should be the theme of the Age of Aquarius and all of us moving forward to try and make sure that we create a sustainable, healthy Earth and human life cycle.
And we can get there. You know, we can get there. I've got to take a break, but when we get back, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about how we can get there. And most importantly, Topher Taylor has a new book out. You're going to want to pay attention to this book. This is a life-changing book, I believe, for many people. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be discussing these topics.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Candy Foster. We're talking with author, scientist, philanthropist, movie producer, Topher Taylor. He's got a new book out. It's called Human Performance Intention Experiment, A Quantum Field Framework. And Topher, let's talk a little bit about the book. And we'll, you know,
the theme today is kind of like, how do we take our intentions, our personal energy, and apply that energy to improve our lives? So there have been many, many experiments over the past 50 years where people showed how intentions can impact health. Okay, you whether it's your personal health or, more importantly, in the concept of quantum physics and our entanglement, helping others. So shamans remotely sending, you know, positive energy to people who have heart conditions or AIDS, and showing that, you know, intentions improve vital statistics in their health, etc. And so that's all fascinating. But there wasn't an experiment done on human performance. In other words, you know, can I actually have someone through intention, you know, perform better? Or can I impact innovation and creativity in another person, which kind of comes back to my core business experience as well. And so what we did is we chose a field where there was a lot of data. And we could use thousands and thousands of pieces of data so that we had an enormous set from which to work to prove statistical significance, hopefully. And so what we did was we went to the University of Southern California and the athletic department, and we got approval from the NCAA, and we got approval from the Pac-12, and we got approval from the athletic department. And then we spoke to coaches and found in a sport where there wasn't a defender, in other words, somebody who's not trying to prevent you from performing. In basketball, you know, someone's going to try and block your shot. In football, someone's going to try and, you know, block your pass. But when you think about sports like Olympic sports, where you're, you know, track and field or javelin throwing, or when you think about, you know, gymnastics, or you think about golf, for example, you know, there isn't someone trying to prevent you. So swimming is another one of those sports. And we went to the head swimming coach at USC, and she was very interested in, you know, the use of energy and our interconnectivity to potentially improve performance from her players. And what we did was we took about 25 swimmers, men and women, who had been at USC for at least a year. And, you know, these people are at the top of their field. I mean, many of them swam in the Olympics, you know, at a division NCAA 1A school like USC. And then there's USC and a few others that are in the, you know, kind of top tier of athletic programs. You're talking about people who wake up every morning at 5 o'clock, exercise for 2 hours, get back in the pool in the afternoon, exercise for 3 hours, have a nutritionist, they have a mentalist, they have, you know, all kinds of coaches around them, all to improve by 1 second. That's what they're trying to achieve, or 1.5 seconds. Right. So you want to talk about living a life of intention. I'm not sure there is a better example of someone who lives their life with intention more than a student athlete of any kind, quite frankly. So now, with all that in mind, can intention set from a third party, it's a shaman in this particular case, as well as an electronic intention device that was created by a fellow by the name of Bill Tiller, who was a former Stanford professor that really coined the phrase energetic sciences and was at the forefront of all of these conversations in the West about scientific exploration around physics and our intention and consciousness, et cetera. So we used two intention senders, the electronic intention device and a shaman who lives in Palm Springs, so remotely, who never met the students, never shook hands with the students, and sent intention to them over the course of the entire season. And wouldn't you know it, the women's program finished in the, you know, top five of the country, which is the highest they'd performed in the last decade. The men performed in the top 20, which is the highest performance they did in the past decade. And the coach won coach of the year in her league. And so the experiment was incredible, and it was eye-opening for me personally, because again, I entered this experiment with skepticism and came up with a flourishing curiosity to keep trying again.
That's amazing. You know, Topher, I always wondered about that. You know, you the Super Bowl is coming up, right?
Yep.
You know, and you watch sports and, you know, the team's down. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got some plays that are just like spectacular. And the other team starts catching up. The crowd starts getting more and more into it. They catch up. And next thing they pass. I know that intention, we're thinking, we're all this collective going on, and that energy is going into those players. And
there's no question about it.
No question, right?
So, you know, when you think about Las Vegas and the odds that they give, a home field advantage is about 3 points in football. So why is that? The field is the same size.
Right.
The yardage markers are the same size. The football is the same size. The goalpost is the same size. So what's different? Well, you have a home field, and then the entire community around the stadium is at home, and you have people watching on television.
Right.
So scientifically, an argument could be the positive energy that's being sent to that team to perform better and win.
You know, it's so interesting because you have teams that have not won, let's say, the Super Bowl in 30 years. And, you know, you walk into their stadiums, and I'm just wondering if maybe it's 90% of the people out there having thoughts, they're going to lose again. They always lose when I go to the game. It's never going to happen for them. And that energy is going right into the team. That's happening.
I couldn't agree more. And you know, it's funny because as the USC guy, I watched Caleb Williams go to Chicago, and all my Chicago Bears fans are like, oh, he's not going to be able to save us. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
There it is right there. That's it. Okay. So I think we're going to have some mentalist work with the crowds. I think that's what we need. We need somebody to come on loudspeaker.
Well, you know, another one of my favorite experiments that was done in Princeton years ago Dean Radin, another great author in the space, talked about, was they created this energy measuring device, and they took the energy measuring device to the Super Bowl, and obviously it was kind of off the charts, right? And then they took it to a Rolling Stones concert, right? And it was off the charts. But then at about 5 a.m. on a Sunday, they took it to the Egyptian pyramids, where there was no one because it was so early in the morning, and the energy was off the charts. And so what's fascinating about that is that a venue, a place, whether it's a church or your living room, that has a long history of having energy shared in that space, can actually be nurtured and maintain that energy. And that's why when we think about applications in our daily lives of practicing intention and thinking positively, if you go to the same place in your house every day to practice that, whether it's 5 minutes, 1 minute, 10 minute, over a period of a year or two, that room will actually be more powerful in its ability to deliver, send, and receive positive energy. At least this is what the science is saying.
Yeah. Well, you ought to walk into my office. You would feel that. No, literally. You know,
I can feel it over the Zoom call here.
All right. So it's, remember that the theory is everything is connected, right? So, and we're talking about energy and vibration. You know, who was it? Tesla said, if you want to understand the universe, understand energy, frequency, and vibration. Well, when you have high resonance, whether it's a rock or whether it's a picture of an enlightened being in your space, or you have I've had my space feng shuied, right? So I use the science of feng shui in my space to have it energetically aligned in coherence with the universe. It's amazing that energy that we feel. And, you know, if you walk into our home is that way. You've probably walked into maybe a home. You feel like a very sacred place that you feel something. It's a vibration. That's how our home is, and it's very intentional. It's intentional. So when people walk in, they feel that energy. That's what we're talking about here. Listen, I don't want to get carried away here. You got an amazing book, The Human Performance Intention Experiment. This is a book I think my audience needs to pick up and get. Where can they get it, Topher?
So on Amazon, it's fully available on Amazon. You can download it digitally or get a hard copy. And I got to tell you, it is a dissertation. So it's an intellectual document, but because I'm a television producer, it's written in a way that's very accessible and simple. And I think for a lot of people who maybe, question the science behind intentions and manifestations, it'll actually be, go a long way to convincing you that, the possibility of manifesting our lives and outcomes is possible.
I love that. This is really great. All right, listen, I'm going to take a quick break, then we'll be coming back for some final thoughts. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here. Did you know that I wear hearing aids? I love my hearing aids, and I am here to help you get a deal on the same brand I wear.
Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $297 a pair. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $297. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design.
Call my friends at MD Hearing and get the over-the-counter hearing aids that I use for you.
Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $297.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Topher Taylor is my guest. Topher, this has just been a fantastic discussion. I really enjoy where we're going with this. We've only got a couple minutes left, and I want to give you that time. final thoughts for our audience. What would you like to share with them?
Well, I mean, I you know, there's a great quote that I found in my research, which I think kind of sets the framework for possibility, which is the follow. Witches call it spells. Christians call it prayer. Spiritualists call it manifestation. Atheists call it the placebo effect. Scientists call it quantum physics. Everyone's arguing over its name. Nobody is denying its existence.
Wow.
And I think that, you know, kind of sums up this kind of conversation that's existed for centuries, quite frankly, and has existed in all forms of our societies and cultures around the world, and which is now kind of under a new light, a light that from a Western perspective has an enormous amount of scrutiny and scientific, basis behind it to accept its existence. And so I think we're at the very, very beginning here of understanding the power of our intention, our interconnectivity with the earth and our community around us, and how we can impact that with our very thoughts. A lot more work to be done, but it's an exciting area.
A lot more work to be done, man. I love it. Listen, I really enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for being our guest. I really appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure.
All right. And thank all of you for tuning into the show. This show is really about you, for you. And till next time, continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and you'll be able to do the impossible.